Hello, my name is Natalie Savelle. Welcome to the Stepmom Strong podcast. This show is for stepmamas or anyone dating a parent, really, all about how to navigate the challenges that come up in this complicated and often underestimated role. I'll be bringing you tips, tricks, validation, and support so that you know that you don't have to feel alone in this role, and there are ways to make things a little less overwhelming. I hope you enjoy.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Empowering Stepmoms, Reimagining the Modern Family interview series. I'm your host, Natalie Savelle of Stepmom Strong Coaching, where I help stepmoms go from overwhelm, resentment, confusion, and stress to confidence, clarity, and connection. And I'm so excited today to be bringing you Nancy Landrum. Welcome, Nancy. Thank you so much for being here.
It's my pleasure. I'm just honored to be included in your awesome list of interviewees.
Great. Yes, it's so fun to have you. I was recommended you by, as you know, Melissa Josue. And so when I read your website, I thought I just had to have you on here. I love the perspective that you have to offer. So I'm very excited. So for the viewers, Nancy Landrum is the how-to person for transformative relationship skills with a combination of experience, practical training, and support. Her Millionaire Marriage Club is the best online marriage skill training available. It sounds amazing. I can't wait to hear all about it. So Nancy, tell me and the viewers what you're up to and how you got to where you are.
Well, it'll be the brief version. First of all, as a child, I was very determined to grow up and have a much happier marriage than my perception of my parents' marriage. But what I didn't realize when I got married was the only tools I had in my marriage toolbox were the ones I'd seen modeled for me growing up. So I ended up acting just like my mom, and my husband responded just like my dad. And I did learn a few key lessons in that first marriage that really did help to start turn our marriage around to happier. But then my husband unexpectedly died, left me with two children, two boys. I was a single mom for 13 years before a friend introduced me to Jim, who was also a widower. He had two teenage girls and an 8-year-old boy. We decided before we got married that we would continue to single parent our teenagers because we didn't think it was a good idea to try to introduce them to a new parent figure. We had no idea how smart that was of us. But we wanted to co-parent the 8-year-old boy. But my definition of being a mom and Jim's definition of being a mom were very different. He expected very different things from me than I was used to giving. I'd, you know, been a single mom of two boys for 13 years. And I was a disciplinarian. I was very loving, but there were rules. There were consequences if rules were broken. And Jim's style of parenting was just a lot more lax than I was comfortable with. And so we started this conflict. We would try to work out an agreement about how to parent Jimmy. And I would follow through with whatever the agreement was. And then Jim would come home and be mad at me because I followed through instead of understanding the situation to be an exception to the rule. There were always exceptions. And I learned over time not to trust Jim's word. You know, I couldn't trust him to follow through with what he agreed to. And he perceived me as a really harsh, and sometimes his perception was that I was being abusive. And there's no doubt that over time, we drove each other into such extreme positions over parenting Jimmy that it just got bad. We had no trouble communicating well when we were happy with each other, but the more angry and frustrated we got, the more our communication tools deteriorated.
It's so interesting that you drove each other to the opposite extremes, almost like your tendency towards a disciplinarian drove him to be even more laid back, and then that drove you to be even more disciplinarian. Yeah,
exactly.
See how that happens.
That's exactly how it happened. And of course, it set up a triangle between the two of us and Jimmy. And Jimmy did what any smart kid would do. He learned how to play us against each other. Now, you know, that wasn't his fault. It was our failing.
Right.
But he got really good at it. So as the conflict got worse and our communication with each other got worse, we finally began to look for help and couldn't find it. I mean, this was in the mid 80s and nothing really functionally was being written or taught about step family dynamics. I found out later that the very first step family research project was published in the late 80s when we were in the midst of our mess, you know, big mess. So we went to several therapists, we went to pastors, we read books, we listened to tapes. I mean, we were really actively looking for help. And finally, we found a coach that started to teach us good, healthy ways of speaking and listening to each other. And by that time, neither of us were listening. I turned into a yeller. I loved sarcastic put downs. Jim was the finger pointing, accusatory communicator. And when he got mad, he would just walk out and slam the door and think when he came back in a couple hours, everything would be okay. And instead, I'd be even more angry. Like, why don't you stay in here and work it out with me instead of abandoning me? So it was very intense work for us to gradually come back from the extreme positions that we had pushed each other into. One day, the turning point was one day we sat down to try to talk about our big issue using the tools that our coach had taught us, like speak only in I messages, meaning I think or I feel, I wish that, I'm concerned about. Those are I messages rather than the accusatory you that creates defensiveness, And we were trying to hear each other rather than just use Jim's speaking time to formulate my argument, which was what a lot of us do when we're in a conflict. And we made it, it was agony. It was like learning to speak in a foreign language. But after about 45 minutes, we were exhausted, but we'd made it through 45 minutes without the conversation exploding, you know, no yelling. And Jim stood up and held his arms open to me. I stepped into his arms and he said, that felt so respectful. Let's do our best to always try to treat each other with respect, which I agreed to. It did. It felt so good to have a conversation about that issue without it exploding. And we did one other thing that was key, and that was we gave each other permission to restate something if either of us said it in a disrespectful way. So if I did a sarcastic put down, Jim would respectfully say, Nancy, would you please restate that without the sarcasm? And if he, you know, was his finger pointing you, I'd say, Jim, please, you know, restate that without the you message. And we allowed each other to correct each other or ask for a correction. And believe me, I didn't like being corrected by him.
I'm sure, especially when you're using that kind of tone, you're in that mode. You're like, I'm ready to attack.
Yes, right? Or he'd ask me to lower my tone of voice.
Right.
And sometimes he thought I was being sarcastic when I didn't think I was.
Right.
But, you know, when he asked me to redo something, I would just kind of grit my teeth and take a breath and think, okay, I want him to speak to me better, so I have to change the way I speak to him.
Right.
And literally for about a year, I could only speak at about this tone of voice, because anything louder than that, he perceived it as yelling.
Right. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
It was tough work there.
Yeah, that is.
So we had two or three dates a week to talk about our big issue. Wow. Yeah. And gradually went from respect to understanding. Mm. It started out as the need for respect, treating each other with respect, but gradually we were able to hear each other and understand each other's point of view. Mm. And I think, if I recall right, it was about 6 months when we finally agreed on a solution that we both could live with. Wow. And that solution, you know, we thought it was a desperate solution only because we were such failures. And that was that I resigned from being Jimmy's mom, that Jim go back to single parenting. And the only time I had one request, and that was that our master bedroom be off limits to Jimmy. I needed one place in the house where I could go if I needed to. And other than that, Jim made all the decisions about Jimmy, and it was a big belief change for me. A belief change that helped me was to keep telling myself there's more than one way to be a good parent. Mm. I wanted him to parent the way I thought he should parent, mm. and vice versa. But there were some real advantages to the way he parented that I wasn't willing to see until I let go of insisting he do it my way.
Yeah, that's huge. I see stepmoms struggle with that all the time. That's probably the number one thing, is he doesn't do things the way that I want, right?
Right.
And I see what needs to happen, and my partner doesn't comply with what I see, right?
Well, we step parents don't have any rosy glasses. You know, when we look at our stepchildren, there are no rosy glasses. Right. I had rosy glasses where my children were concerned, right. but not for Jimmy.
Right. I always tell people, I'm like, my son leaves something on the floor, and I'm like, oh, he left something on the floor. My stepson does it. Yeah. I'm like, he left something. You know, it's like this whole completely different experience.
Different dynamic.
Yeah.
So that was from that day, from the day that we agreed to always treat each other with respect, we never had another fight.
Wow.
We had
amazing.
It was miraculous, transformational. We still were in disagreement, but we talked right. about it with respect. It yeah. never escalated into a fight again.
Yeah.
And interestingly enough, a few months after I stepped out of the role of co-parenting, Jim began to recognize that Jimmy needed more discipline. He needed more boundaries. But I had to get out of the picture before he could take his focus off of me, so that he could see Jimmy more, I don't know how you would say, you know, I would like to say so he could see Jimmy more my way.
But also just more clearly, like he could see the consequences of his behavior clearly without just right. seeing like how you're interfering and that bothering him, rather than seeing his son's behavior and the consequences of that, it sounds like.
Jimmy's behavior actually got worse when yeah. I stepped out of the picture. And I honestly think it was because I was the only one in his life that held up any boundary for him.
Yeah.
You know, that he couldn't move, that he yeah. couldn't manipulate around.
Yeah, that's amazing. I love what you say about that respect, because I had a very similar experience where I didn't even realize how disrespectful I was being. And I was like demanding respect
yes.
in the whole situation of step-parenting. I was like, you need to respect me regarding your son. Meanwhile, I was speaking so condescendingly without even realizing it. And that was a big like aha moment for me too, is like, wow, I also am guilty of this, and it's not making anything better.
Well, it's a tough realization to get to, but it's that old story of taking the beam out of your own eye instead of criticizing the other guy. I was acting in exactly the way I wanted Jim not to act, you know,
right.
and So the light had to be shed on. I had to assume responsibility for my own behavior and my own attitude. And also, it was important for me to recognize that in this big fight that had been growing over 7 years before we finally got help, I was fighting for what I thought was best for Jimmy, but losing my marriage. And I thought, I have to choose. You know, if I keep fighting for Jimmy, I'm going to lose my marriage and Jimmy. And it's in Jimmy's best interest, as well as our best interest, to save the marriage and make it strong.
Wow. Yeah, that's so powerful. That's so true.
All five of our children over the years have come to one or the other of us and said, thank you for saving your marriage. Thank you for fighting for your marriage. Because, you know, they've had rough spots in their own lives that they needed to stick it out and find a way to work through. And we didn't want to hand them the legacy of divorce. We didn't want them to see us give up on something that had so much essential goodness. Jim and I did, underneath all the garbage, we never stopped loving each other. I mean, when we were in the worst of it, I remember telling this coach, I don't respect him anymore, and I don't know if I can love him if I don't respect him. And I didn't know it until much later, but Jim was telling her, I don't love her anymore. I mean, and that was just anger. You know, it was just anger and frustration speaking. It really wasn't our hearts.
Yeah.
Because in our hearts, we really did love each other.
So when you were in that place of like, I don't even think I love him anymore. I can't, how am I supposed to treat him respectfully? I don't respect him. I hear a lot of stepmoms say that. So what do you say to them?
Well, one of the other key elements that she taught us was good anger management. And that in order to always speak to each other respectfully or treat each other respectfully, we had to vent our anger and frustration somewhere else.
Yeah, that's
not at them, not at him. Mm-hmm. So I did a lot of journal writing. I wrote all the nasty things I wanted to say in my journal. You know, I was very self-righteous and opinionated and, you know, whatever I needed to be, that went into the journal. And Jim would go to the golf course and hit a bucket of balls and pretend my face was on every ball. Just whap, you know. And he didn't like journaling, but he bought a little micro cassette recorder. And when he was really angry, he would go to the park, park off in some private place in the park, and talk into this tape recorder as though he were speaking to me. And he would tell me all the stuff he wanted to say to me and not worry about how it sounded or what words he used or anything. And finally, he would play it back and it would start to sound funny to him. And then he knew he was ready to go home and have what we called a skilled discussion, which meant a respectful discussion. But if either of us was too triggered, too much in the anger or frustration, then I'd call a timeout on myself. I'd say, I'm sorry. Give me 20 minutes to go pull some weeds or walk around the block or do something to dissipate the anger before I'd come back to the discussion. And literally when I talk about the journal, I wrote reams, reams, reams. In fact, I just recently threw away about 12 3-inch binders full of my garbage.
Yeah.
I thought, why am I saying this? I don't want to remember all that. So
well, that's amazing. It's amazing that you could be that, like 12 journals worth of anger at him. And a lot of women would say, if you're that angry at someone, you shouldn't be with them. Right?
Well, we had,
you guys were so committed.
We had some things going for us. One was that both of our parents were married to each other for over 60 years. We had a heritage of commitment.
Yeah.
We also had our faith, which we had a very strong faith, and we really believed that we were together for a reason, a purpose, and that some mysterious way that purpose was being worked out and we needed to stick with it.
Wow, yeah.
And And as I said, at the core, underneath all the garbage, we really did love each other. And we both wanted a peaceful, loving marriage. So we were both willing to work at it.
Yeah, that's incredible.
From the time the fighting stopped, we had 17 blissfully peaceful, passionate, loving years together before Jim passed away.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So, you know, and was it worth the 7 years of hell we put each other through and the 6 months of intense work that we put each other through? That intense work paid off not only for us, but for our children. And then later we began teaching classes, and we titled the classes How to Stay Married and Love It. You know, we wanted to teach people the skills that we needed and we didn't have at the beginning, the communication skills, the anger management skills, the skill of listening for the purpose of understanding instead of just listening, you know, taking time to formulate my next argument. So we taught classes of, you know, 12 couples at a time. These skills, because we wanted to teach people how do I stay married and love it, not just grit it out, you know.
Right, yeah.
But how can I be married in a way that I really love this person and we're able to work out whatever issues we have? It really doesn't matter what the issue is. Ours was parenting. We didn't really have any other issues. It's not the issue that's important. It's the having the skills to be able to speak in a respectful way, to listen, trying to understand the other person's point of view, and then find a solution that works for both of you.
Yeah, that's huge. I love that. And so also, and how to stay married and love it, that's one thing, is to be respectful. But I imagine that you all also worked on the things that, like, you enjoy together too, right? Like, I feel like the places where you did connect, right, instead of just, like, doing this forceful respect thing, there must have been some other.
Jim was very good about making sure that we had a date every week. I'm kind of a workaholic, but Tuesday was our date day, and he had a job where he could take the whole day off. So we often would go out to breakfast and go to a movie, or we'd sit in a park and play table games together, which we both really enjoyed. And those date times, we had one rule, that we could not bring up or talk about anything that had conflict in it. You know, that the purpose of that time was to enjoy being together only. And there were times when we'd sit in a restaurant and I'd be reading my novel and he'd be doing his crossword puzzle while we were eating breakfast. And I often thought, you know, people might look at us and think we're one of those couples that don't ever talk to each other. But there literally were some months in there where we could not talk very much to each other without a fight erupting.
It's like really, it's like actually playing out. No one ever, what is the word? No one ever got sick from swallowing evil words unsaid, right? It's like, you're going to be okay if you don't say the mean things.
Yeah,
it might work out a lot better. I love that. I see this happen so often where some moms get so stuck in, like, not even being able to be nice because they're holding on to just all this junk that's happened the day before, the week before, the month before, right? And it prevents so much from them even being able to be present in that moment. So yeah, that's amazing what you guys
do. I tell the couples that I coach, every couple needs 2 dates a week. One date to have fun and remember why you love each other and do something you enjoy together, and one date to work out any conflicts that have come up during the week.
I love that. That's so good. I'm going to take that.
And never the two shall meet. They're two separate dates.
Yeah, that's so good. Yeah. Well, great. Nancy, I'm moved by your story. It's really powerful. I think it's going to give a lot of people a lot of hope, because I know that people get into a pretty desperate situation like where you've been.
Well, thank you. I thought that's the best thing I have to offer, this collection of great interviews you have, is just to say that there's got to be some stepmoms or stepdads watching your interviews that are in the same kind of desperate condition that Jim and I were in.
Yeah, definitely.
And there is hope. You know, you if you get the skills, you're willing to learn and then use the skills you learn until they become more habitual, you can work out anything. I love Gary Chapman's quote. He says, there are no problems that cannot be resolved. There are only people who will not resolve them.
I like that. Yeah.
It's a great quote, isn't it?
And I also think that we've talked about this in some of the other interviews too, but kind of along the same lines, I have found in my own life, and I've seen this happen with others too, is that when I shift my language into respect and I decide that that's going to be the standard and I don't engage in a conversation unless there's respect happening, it can shift the pattern of the relationship completely. So even if there's a stepmom watching who's like, yeah, that's all great, but like my husband's not into this and he won't participate, I still think that the more that we are able to be respectful and we create that kind of like environment and that kind of container, then they're going to step into it. And again, it can shift the entire dynamic just by changing that pattern.
I had a wonderful experience of coaching a man whose wife said she wanted a divorce. They had two teenage children, and she would not come with him to appointments. She didn't think she needed any help. So week after week, he would come and report to me the incidents that happened between the two of them and how he responded. And all I could do was say, well, if I were your wife, when you did this, I would feel this. And how could you have done this differently that would make her feel valued and heard? He read every book in my marriage library. He came for about 3 months every week and then began to space it out. And finally, one day, the kids during breakfast turned to their mom and said, Dad's really changed. Have you noticed? And she was at the sink and she just nodded her head. And the kid said to her, you still love him, don't you? And all she could do was just nod her head. But it was a few months later that she moved back into the bedroom with him because she'd been sleeping on the couch for a year or two. They began to enjoy social engagements together, where before she wouldn't go out with him because he was so obnoxious. Mm-hmm. So he changed his behavior and just... Oh, not too long ago, I got an email from him just updating me about their family and how well they were doing. Still married, happily married.
Yeah,
that's okay. He was the only, he took the initiative to make the changes because he wanted to save the marriage. And he basically did it by himself.
Yeah, that's amazing. It's incredible. It really can have a profound effect when we look at ourselves and see like where we're falling, you know, where we're just not participating in the way that we want the relationship to be, right? So where we're not holding ourselves to the standard that we're setting.
It's yes.
Bigger than we think, because we, especially, and that's awesome that a man did it. A lot of times you see the women.
I know.
The men are the idiots.
I've been coaching couples now for 25 years, and what I found is that there's usually one person in the relationship who takes the initiative. You know, that leads in a forward direction. And often it's the woman, but sometimes it is the man. And in this case, it was the man. I'm currently right now working with a woman whose husband won't come to the appointments, won't participate. But she has made so many changes, and he is almost unconsciously responding positively to the changes that she's making.
Yes, it really does make a difference. We're kind of changing the entire way that we're being with that person. So of course, if we're, you know, it's going to affect people positively, I think, if we're in a more positive space. So yeah, that's amazing. So how can people find you, Nancy? I'm sure they're going to
use your stuff. Find me at nancylandrum.com. Landrum is spelled L-A-N-D-R-U-M, nancylandrum.com. And I have a giveaway. This is the book I've written about our story and the skills we learned to save our marriage, give us the peaceful, loving marriage we wanted. That giveaway will be given to anyone who books a phone appointment with me.
And okay, great. Oh my gosh, yeah.
The link to the phone appointment, to link to my calendar, is below the video when you get the video in your email.
All right. Awesome, Nancy. Thank you so much for being here. I know that there's going to be a lot of discussion about this one. I'm so looking forward to hearing what everyone thinks and how helped they are by it. So thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for the opportunity and for all the good work you're doing.
Oh, you're so welcome. Same to you. And I will see everyone next time. Bye.
Hello, everyone. Natalie here. I hope you've been enjoying this podcast. I hope it's inspired you to use your challenges for growth. And I'm so glad you've gotten to listen. And I also hope it helps you realize that you're not alone or crazy. It is a very challenging role to be in a step-parenting position. So I wanted to be sure to invite you to my free Stepmom Strong Facebook community. It's a group of stepmoms who are also in a growth-oriented mindset. The women in there are amazing supports to each other, so make sure you check it out. You can head to www.facebook.com/groups/stepmomstrong and be sure to answer the entry questions when you request to join. Otherwise, you will not be let in. So seriously, be sure to answer those so I can let you in. I'd love to have you join us. Again, it's a great group. So I hope you'll come find us on Facebook/groups/stepmomstrong. No spaces or underscores or anything. All right. Thanks again for listening. And I look forward to seeing you in there. Bye.